You're listening to KPDO 89.3 FM, Pescadero Radio. I'm your host, Cassie Talbot, and I'm here to bring you the audio of a documentary called Tower of Dreams, a film by Hillary Morgan. Tower of Dreams is a documentary about Cristiana Morgan, 1897 to 1967, a psychoanalyst and artist who played a significant role in the development of modern psychology. Filmmaker Hillary Morgan explores her grandmother's renegade life as an early feminist who, while exploring her own unconscious, became an extraordinary influence in the advancement of Jungian psychology. This is her story.
In 1926, my grandmother, Cristiana Morgan, traveled to Zurich, Switzerland to be psychoanalyzed by Carl Jung. It would be a turning point in her life. She was 29 years old. During the 9 months that she worked with Carl Jung, she created 3 volumes of her dreams and visions. These became the basis for Carl Jung's 4-year-long seminars called the Vision Seminars. Until that time, they were his most intensive study of a patient. It is from this body of work that he was able to develop many of his theories about the use of the imagination in psychoanalysis, and most importantly about the psychology of women, then an emerging field of study. This is the story of her life's work and mysterious death. In 1927, my grandmother and grandfather William found a piece of property on the edge of a tidal river near Newburyport, Massachusetts. Cristiana, from her diaries, described buying what they called the property. A great rock set in the jungle of scrub birches, broken down pine limbs, encroaching sumacs and blackberry vines. She knew when she first saw the place what a struggle it would be to bring order out of such chaos. There, they built a rustic one-room cabin, which had no running water or electricity. The cabin had a large walk-in-size fireplace to cook on. In 1937, after my grandfather died, she sought to make the place a retreat where she could continue her work on her visions and research from the Harvard Psychological Clinic. Having started a love affair with Henry Murray, the place also became a sanctuary for their relationship. Later, after Harry came back from visiting Carl Jung at Bollingen, Switzerland, they were inspired to add a stone tower to the cabin.
She and Harry got together and drew up sketches. They sketched it out, and then they sat down with my father and said, "What can you do to give us this?" And then he explained what he could do, building the walls, how to build the walls. He had to blow out the ledge he had to put it in. So I would think that they all together came up with this place. And there was never an architect involved.
Cristiana sought a builder in Newburyport and was told about Kenneth Knight, who came from a long line of Newburyport carpenters.
So he started at a young age doing this, and I'm sure he learned a lot from his father.
The thing I remember most is building the tower.
80 years ago this year, must have been 1937, I think I was 6 years old. I might be a little bit off on that. But when it started was when they set off the dynamite and blew the base out. And it didn't hurt the building. You know, that was one big thing they were afraid of. But they were able to, you know, take it out. And this thing's never settled, has it? It's on solid ledge.
And I remember standing out in the driveway, and they had put the dynamite, they drilled it, put the dynamite in, and then they blew the rock away. And I remember sitting out here seeing rocks flying through the air.
Originally, until a road was built, all of the building materials were carried in by wheelbarrow. Mr. Knight was a master carpenter and mason, working tirelessly to plane all the wood material by hand without any power tools.
He didn't have any power tools at all. All hand saws, everything was hand saws. And he used an adze a lot. Well, he had a miter box. Today they have these chop boxes that do a nice job of making angles. And he had one of the old hand boxes and all that he worked with, again, hand tools. And he was a master. It always came out perfect. He would never, ever compromise his work. He always said that if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing well. It evolved too, I suppose, you know. They learned from each other. And as they went along, they came up with different things.
From her diary, she wrote, "When I was around Knight, while he was building, I always felt the simple goodness of the work, the physical labor of a maker, which I experienced here for the first time, clearing the ground, cutting down trees, pulling brush for the burning, tearing out the stumps, hauling wood, digging the earth. This was the toil that took all my bodily strength. And I learned the rich reward of inner peace and bodily serenity when strength returned at evening and I walked out to see the new shape of the things which my labor had brought about."
He didn't talk very much, very quiet person. He didn't teach you how to carve. He told her how to use the tools to carve. She was the artist.
Excerpt from her diary. "Knowing that I really cared and was carving with wood, he would instruct me as to why a tool must be used this way and not that, how it should be sharpened. And he would tell me stories of his grandfather's experiences, the old ways with wood, the virtues and limitations of the old-fashioned tools. It took only a year and a half for Mr. Knight to build a 3-story stone tower and additions to the cabin of a kitchen, sunroom, and woodshed. These buildings stood above the river and came to be referred to as the Tower on the Marsh. Christiana, like Carl Jung, held an acute ability to mine her unconscious through the use of the active imagination, and then to resurface to coherently describe and record her images. These visions guided her on an uncharted feminine journey through her primitive unconscious to the realm of her deepest emotions and inner world. Over time, as the visions became more prolific, powerful, and detailed, Jung encouraged her to put them in a journal. For Jung, Her visions were archetypal amplifications of the unconscious elements of her personality. Jung felt that through her journals, a deep, unconscious, archetypal, primitive, feminine self was emerging. Christiana filled three large leather-bound volumes with elaborate paintings and pen and ink descriptions of her visions. Jung, over 4.5 years, would give hundreds of seminars based on these journals. They would become known as the Vision Seminars. The 20 volumes that comprise the Vision Seminars represent the most extensive presentation of a patient's case material by Jung. Both towers were spiritual and artistic refuges for my grandmother and Carl Jung. Jung carved the stone and painted the walls in Bollingen. Christiana painted and carved on wood and designed stained glass windows in the tower. After the completion of the tower, Christiana spent more time making it a sanctuary for herself and her art. Along with creating a life filled with elaborate rituals, she created an environment throughout the tower and garden, adorned with carvings, icons, and sculptures, rich with her visions and she and Harry Murray's private symbols. The tower contained three large round rooms that were connected by a winding staircase. Her study was on the top floor with a semicircle of windows that overlooked the Tidal River. Set into the wall beneath these windows, Kenneth Knight built her a large mahogany desk. He also constructed tall bookshelves to house many of her books. Here she would work for hours, recording her trances, writing her book, and creating articles of research for the Harvard Psychological Clinic. Next to the bookshelves was a small wrought iron ladder that led to the rooftop, where she could sit and look upon the marsh and watch the river meander towards the sea. The bottom room was half underground, as it had been tucked into the contour of the land. As her meditation room, she would trance and perform rituals. This is also where the Gaston Lachaise sculpture of her lived when it was brought in from the garden for the winter months. In 1966, she replaced the two large windows in the meditation room with stained glass that were inspired from images in her visions. The two windows were created like two religious triptych panels. She commissioned Mary Creighton, a notable stained glass artist of cathedrals, to carry out the work. Thank you. Between the two rooms, in the middle of the tower, lay her bedroom. In this room were two sets of French windows that opened to the gardens and the river below. In the middle of the room was a large wooden bed with a sculpted headboard, and overhead an intricately carved piece of mahogany. Behind the bed was a hidden closet with a carving on the door. The living room, which was originally the one-room cabin, had large wooden bookcases that Kenneth Knight put in after adding the tower, sunroom, kitchen, and outer sheds. The sunroom off the kitchen contains perhaps the greatest number of her art pieces. Here she adorned the room with carvings, paintings on wood, and elaborate symbology. With time, she began to expand her detailed focus on the building and decorating of the tower to the tending of the surrounding landscape. Having worked side by side with her father in his garden while growing up, she learned a deep love and appreciation for the beauty and wonders of nature. From his garden in Maine, she transplanted sweet-smelling irises, roses, coral bells, lilacs, and peonies, all reminding her of her childhood summers. Over 40 years spent together as lovers and professional colleagues, Christiana and Harry sought to go beyond Jung's idea of individuation and the reconciliation of opposites. They sought to evolve and create a supreme example of a romantic love. What they referred to as their synergy entailed harnessing their intellectual, creative, and erotic energies to form a divine myth, a new arcane religion, what they called the highest philosophy. Their joint venture was meant to be defined and symbolized by the creation of the tower and their book. Here, in iron and wood throughout the tower, one can see the symbol of their union. The dyad, as they called it, was comprised of a series of complex rituals where they explored the darker side of the unconscious, sought to reconcile opposing sides of the self, the masculine and feminine, the yin and the yang, and to create a more whole and balanced union. Her visions were the inspiration and the underlying foundation for most of their work together. While Christiana was a psychoanalyst, researcher, and helped run the Harvard Psychological Clinic, she is best known for co-authoring the thematic apperception test. The TAT is used as a projection test in clinical psychology. Pictures were presented to patients in hopes of eliciting responses that could allow the analyst to understand the patient's underlying personality hidden in the unconscious. From her diaries, she wrote, "A strange oppression has been on me the last 2 days. It seems to be overwhelming and sad and awe-inspiring. It is different from pure depression. It is as though it were the breaking of the last shell of consciousness. It is like gazing at something full in the face, the fact that to my child, to my husband, and to Harry, I must be mother, and nothing will ever stand between me and the forces which are around me, that I will be eternally alone, looking at these naked things, always unprotected, and then measuring them to the capacity of these several individuals, veiling them and transforming these things that I see to meet the needs of each one while I see them in the raw. I have the feeling that this may be the real awakening consciousness of a woman. It makes me feel appallingly alone." In 1967, while vacationing with Harry, She died in the waters off St. John's Island in the Caribbean. This time, she descended into the depths, but never came back. She sought through psychoanalysis to study her unconscious in hopes of leading a more individual life, free from men's projections and the restrictive societal conventions that were placed on women in those days. Being ahead of her time, she rejected the role of being a mother and a wife, and instead became an intellectual, artist, and psychoanalyst. She discovered a woman's voice and a new woman's psychology through her visions and her work, and sought to unite the inner opposites of feminine and masculine to create a more comprehensive and unique feminine identity. From her diary, she wrote, "The first of her treasures, she thought, was having made this journey into the depth. She had found a unity in herself. My grandmother returned again and again to her visions and believed they were the core myths of her life. I believe that the tower was physically inspired by Carl Jung, but spiritually by Alfred North Whitehead, whom my grandmother affectionately called Alti. Alfred North Whitehead and his relationship with his wife Evelyn were hugely influential to my grandmother. Christiana felt that the union that Whitehead had with his wife was ultimately what she and Harry sought. From her handwritten letter, she writes, "It was in 1939, when the lilacs were in bloom, that I brought Evelyn and Alti Whitehead to see the tower. Here I quote from my diary. Alti at lunch was discussing the intellectual mind, the virtue of mysticism, to open the eyes to wonder, the recognition of value, value which can't be said, such as this tower, this place. Later he said, 'I have found out something about you. You are a truly creative and great person. Everything that you have made here tells me that. It is more than individuality and uniqueness. It is greatly creative. This place is more than you. It must go on.'" Letter to her son, my father. "You see, the tower isn't just a house. It represents a way of life. Harry's in my life for 40 years. Quite aside from the money, all our symbols are there. It has been for both of us as if we were writing a book. It is there for anyone who has the eyes to see or to comprehend. Now, if you were writing a book, which took you 40 years, wouldn't you like to know that it was going out into the wider world?" It may take many years for this house to be understood, but anyway, the carvings, the symbols, the stained glass windows are there, and I doubt very much if anyone will root them out, because the house now has what is called mana, soul. Thank you.